is time for the East End Report, ladies and gentlemen. And it is brought to you by the New Moon Cafe. That's right. It's a landmark restaurant, and it's still going strong, by the way, for over 40 years. That's 40 years. New Moon Cafe with the best mix anywhere. Anyway, nightly options. Blue Mondays, we told you about. Taco Tuesdays, Burger Wednesdays, Thursday, Tuesdays. Saturday and Sunday, you got the breakfast brunch. Deep in the heart of East Quad, folks, the New Moon Cafe. Good morning, Mr. DePira. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. What do you think happens this weekend? You think you got the first team to host a Super Bowl in the history of the NFL, that being Tampa? Or do you have the best quarterback versus the best quarterback opposing each other? That would be KC and Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers.
I just stated minutes ago the MVP of the league this year will be Aaron Rodgers, and he will carry his team to victory. I think Tom Brady, you know, listen, a remarkable year, obviously, at age 43. And his 14th championship game, but he'll come up short. I don't see it. I think Rodgers will prevail, and I think the Chiefs will prevail as well. I think it'll be a good Super Bowl. Green Bay, Kansas City is my picks. Green Bay, Kansas City.
Yeah, I think that may well be like the best matchup. If you really go back to the two best quarterbacks, I think this would probably be the best quarterback since once upon a time you had, Marino and Montana, and everyone was on pins and needles waiting for a colossal game. The only problem is San Francisco. Montana showed up. Marino didn't. That was very bizarre. That should have been one of the best Super Bowls ever. And that game was kind of quiet by the third quarter. So if we do get KC and Green Bay, let's hope that that lives up to the quarterback hype.
Brady knows how to get there, though. So, you know, that looms large. Should be a heck of a Sunday. I'm looking forward to getting rid of everything I need to do by 3 o'clock, because that's all I want to do is watch football from, you know, 3 to 10 on Sunday night. So it should be a lot of fun. If you love football, there's nothing like.
Yeah, I like the late start times. They used to start these things at like 1 o'clock, and you went, "Hey, I'm not ready."
Yeah, 3 and 6:30, 3 and 6:45 is fine with me. We got a lot happening there in the East End of things for the week. Where do you want to lead, sir?
Well, I guess this just came through yesterday out in East Hampton, you know, that whole thing with the village voting to study incorporation. This, of course, would be a direct move to prevent the potential deal with Orsted Wind to use their beach ashore Waynescott as a landing spot to dig into the street to bring ashore the power cable. However, East Hampton Town Board has officially gotten the ball rolling on that. They approved by a 4-1 vote yesterday to construct the land cable from the Atlantic Ocean through the town to a Long Island Power Authority substation. Now, this story has been going on for years, you know, and years. The outcry has been getting bigger and bigger, hence the possible move to incorporate. But developers Orsted and Eversource, they, you know, kept upping the package. So where the town, once you get to almost $29 million, Jay, over 25 years, you know, and that's, by the way, it started at about $8.5 million. So this thing more than tripled. So it's kind of hard for the town to kind of look away from the benefits of money. And also, it's really clean energy. It's 15 turbine South Fork would be out. The 15 turbine South Fork wind farm would basically, begin by, I guess, the end of next year. It's going to be out in federal waters. It's still going to need the state and federal permits to proceed. There was one East Hampton councilman that was saying, "Hey, let's hold off. Let's think about this." I think it's not going to start until 2023, Jay, because they have to wait for the federal approvals. So And this thing changed its name along the way. Remember, it was the Deepwater Wind Farm at one point. So what began as a 90-megawatt wind farm ended up being much more than that. And like I said, the cost did triple. And the citizens group out there I talked to you about, it's called the Preservation of Waynescott, they, of course, have threatened to sue to block this. And if they incorporate it as a new village, they could block it. It's still got a ways to go. But again, it's clean energy. So, I mean, you're going to have a road dug up, but it's not like they're bringing, you know, oil into your ground. It seems green energy is the way to go now, and you have an area out there where they just don't want it. And if they don't want it in their area, they don't. That means they don't want it.
Yeah, well, you know, when I think of that area, I think of the noise and everything else. I'm just wondering regarding the construction aspect of everything. And maybe some assurances are in place regarding disruptions, you know, beach access, noise, huge deal regarding the airport out there, many other impacts, visual impact. You know, I would imagine that all comes into play as well. But, you know, if they can get some assurances in that regard, you know, you mentioned the green energy and everything else, climate change stuff. You know, it's important, I guess. You know, it looks like it'll probably be a no-brainer out there, I would imagine.
Yeah, and Peter Van Skoyak, the East Hampton Town Supervisor, he was, you know, being accused, you know, the board, it's like, according to Newsday, quote, that the board's vote was some sort of a knee-jerk response to climate change. And Van Skoyak says, you know, this is, it's beyond our jurisdiction. You know, it's federal, you know. That thing is going to be put up. That wind farm is happening. That's the thing. It isn't like you can stop the wind farm. It's just a matter, the issue is that it's coming onto Waynescott.
Yeah. So that's happening out in the East Hampton area. Now, also, another story hasn't gotten a lot of play, though. Remember the deal with the East Quogue folks and the old name of the Hills? And I guess they cleared a little bit of a hurdle as far as regulatory is concerned in getting this. But that also kind of caught my eye in the last couple of days, sir. We'll see what happens. The Hills Project, the East Quogue area.
What we do know is that we did mention last week that the Long Island Pine Barrens Association, they're the ones that control the ultimate decision. They took over, maybe they not really took over, but they let it be known that even if the town of Southampton, which they did at one point, if you remember, they were leaning to actually vote, and they did vote in favor of it, until the Zoning Board of Appeals overruled the town. That was when the developers saw that loophole that a planned development district is allowed recreational uses such as a tennis court and swimming pool, and the developer of the Hills were like, hey, what's a golf course hole behind your house, behind where you live in this planned development district? This is part of it. Golf's a recreation. So that then threw a wrench into that. Now that allows it until the Pine Barrens board, which is made up of supervisors and other environmentalists, stepped in or let it be known that they will determine its fate. And their vote could come, I think, within a week from what I read last week.
And, you know, it's kind of the best of both worlds because the way I see it, you have 600 acres there, right? So 400 would still be preserved. So, you know, to me, with the commission, what was it, a 3-1 vote, it meets the standards for development in the Pine Barrens. You still need approvals, though. You still need various state, Suffolk County, I think the Southampton town approvals in order to get the final go-ahead. So we'll see how that prevails there.
Now, Ed Romaine, though, has let it be known that he does not want to approve it. So just keep that in mind, and you know, he's one of the board members.
Keep an eye on that. What else? Where do we want to go here? Oh, the vaccines. Let's go to the vaccine deal because, you know, listen, many unhappy as far as how the Long Island area has been handled regarding distribution. So now you got a whole bunch of supervisors, you know, sounding off here. I was reading where Scott Russell, town supervisor of Southall, bad communication, unreliable system at fault here. You have to have these vaccines. Now, listen, I get it, supply, demand, and everything else, but, you know, to me, if you're holding on to supply instead of divvying it out and you're screaming and yelling and you're not doing the job, you know, people need the vaccine. If you have the supply, you got to divvy out the supply. I've said this all along the last couple of weeks, and that wasn't the case. But, you know, we'll see what happens right now as far as response in the next couple of days.
Yeah, the Southampton Press has stories of people really logging on, trying to get on, not being able to get on to get appointments. And you know, one resident in North Haven actually, you know, woke up at 1:30 a.m., still loaded, but then finally was able to get two appointments, of course, on separate days in early March. It's the whole distribution system should have been allocated to towns, like you just mentioned. I spoke to a nurse who is in charge of, you know, administering shots. She's not a supervisor, right? So she's fairly new to the profession, but she's been on the job for less than a year. Her job is to administer COVID vaccine. So when I asked her, you know, how quickly did you get yours? Because, you know, you certainly are eligible. She tells me not until sometime in April, I'm being told. And I had to ask her again. I go, you haven't gotten the shot and you're administering to the patients? And she says, mm-hmm. That, I think, is absurd. This is a healthcare worker that has to wait in line to get the shot.
Well, tell me about it. Listen, all I could tell you is my wife's finally getting a shot. She's a nurse. She actually swabs patients for testing, and she still couldn't get a shot. I mean, how ridiculous is that? She puts her health on the line on a daily basis, but she couldn't get a shot. I mean, come on. All things ridiculous. It's an absolute travesty the way this thing has been handled, poorly as could be. Websites crashing. People will have to wait online for that 833 number to get information. It's just despicable the way it was thrown out there. And the problem is, you know, we talk about plan. There's no plan. There was never a plan. I mean, if there was a plan, everything would be in place. You know, I heard Fauci last night on one of the shows. You know, he was asked about that because it's very real. You know, websites are crashing. You can't get through to speak to anybody. What's the deal? He doesn't even have an answer for this. And they're looking into this right now so that they can get to the root of the problem. I mean, it's just insane. It really is.
And,
it's terrible. Terrible. The way, you know, Operation Warp Speed is anything but right now. You know, it's Operation Turtle Speed. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It really is.
And there's reports which are becoming more prevalent now that people are, I think they want to put a ban on the vacation vaccine situation that's going on. People are booking flights to Florida, and they're going there specifically just to get the shot, and then they're returning home. So now I think in Florida, I think you almost have to show proof of residency. Some newscaster in Argentina, some woman took her elderly mom there and then posted it online that they traveled to Florida from Argentina just to get the shot. And that outraged. I think that might have been the thing that actually put Florida into action to say, okay, this is enough. You know, we're going to run out only because this whole system is so messed up that people from not only New York, but Argentina are coming here just to get the shot.
Be shut out. I'll tell you why. Because you got to show proof of residency. You must show proof of residency in the state of Florida right now. So, you know, listen, it just goes to show you where we're at right now. People are desperate to get the shot. And again, you know, now Florida's handled it a lot better than New York, I got to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have.
They handled a lot better. They got seniors vaccinated. You know, now seniors, you know, as you might have seen on some of the video that's out there, you know, they had to wait overnight at various places, but they got the shot. They got the shot, okay? There's too many restrictions going on in New York. Too many restrictions going on in New York. Too much finger pointing. Too much, you know, threatening. You know what? Florida got the vaccine and distributed it the right way. You can say all you want. You say all you want about Ron DeSantis. He's handled a lot better than New York. No question.
Yeah, they should use whatever Florida's doing and say, hey, do what this state is doing. So, you know, I mean, I still don't understand why the government officials and their staff all got to get shots. I'll never understand that. I mean, I just don't get it. There are people in the 30s, whole staffs getting inoculated. The elderly should have been taken. The healthcare workers and the elderly should have been the only ones. And all right, well, maybe your top, you know, not your whole staff, but the lead politician. But to have the other staff members in their 30s is just absurd. And this silent thing is still out there running amok. You know, if you don't have your, you don't know who you can, where you can get it at any moment in any time. You think you can't get it, and then you walk into an air current, but inside any building, it's there, and it's still a problem, big problem.
Problem indeed, and that's the first and foremost this new administration has to tackle. Get the vaccine out there, okay? Get to these manufacturers of Pfizer, Moderna, and make sure that it is in place for distribution. That's what you need to do.
Unfortunately,
Joe Biden, Prior One should be just that. Get this distribution in place.
The first odd thing is that there are way too many people that still believe that this is a poison that is going to be injected into you and have been quite defiant, saying, I'm not getting that put in my arm. And I think of what Chris Rock said, if you heard what comedian Chris Rock had said in response to all this talk. He said, if I have a headache, I take an aspirin. Do I know what's in the aspirin? No. If I have a cold, I take cough medicine. Do I know what's in the cough medicine? No. He says, that vaccine becomes available to me. Do I know what's in it? No. Am I going to get that shot? Hell yeah.
Gone right. I mean, you know, listen, I know a lot of people who have already said to me that I'm getting the shot. That's their prerogative, you know.
True.
But, you know, I think most people feel that if you were going to get back to any semblance of normalcy, you know, we'll need to get vaccinated here. I mean, that's really all there is.
And that's what's going to jam openings back up, by the way. You could already see far more people than the papers. You know, when you hear about all the people lining up for shots, surprised me, because that shows me that most of the people do want the shot. Now, you do have the right to not want the shot, obviously. You know, that's everybody's right, just like that situation with the schools last year. You remember about 2 years ago, the Jewish community, when the measles outbreak happened? But I guess what I'm saying is the logic that they are using contradicts with them then saying, well, how long is it going to take for things to open back up? Are the same people who are saying they're not going to get the shot. And you want to make them, you don't really, you can't talk logic to that, because, yes, you are the type of people that are going to cause you to not be able to go to the concerts, because, number one, not only will the shows not open up because of you, right? The more people that don't get vaccinated, the more it delays openings. And number two, you know that you're going to probably have to attend an indoor concert. They're only going to let you in if you show proof that you have been vaccinated. Am I right or am I wrong?
And it's a possibility that could happen. Listen, there's going to be venues in which you're going to have to show it. You know, you're
going
to have to, listen, in order to get on a plane, you'll have to show a negative test. That's what they're doing right now from overseas. You can't travel to this country. You heard Biden. And listen, if you don't have a negative test, don't even bother. You know, you're going to be isolated. you know, listen, it comes down to, again, getting back to some semblance of your regular life back, you know, getting it back. And again, you know, there's so many, like, conspiracy. You know, I've heard that sterility, you can get sterile, you know, if they give you the vaccine. You know, there's no documentation of that stuff. Yes, that's the biggest poison. You mentioned the poison. The poison is not the vaccine. The poison is social media. Okay?
Yes.
And always has been. So I'm so sick of it. It's ridiculous. My kids, hey, Dad, did you read that? No, I don't listen to that garbage.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Jay, five East End supervisors have sent a letter to Governor Cuomo expressing alarm. This is a group letter. Over the availability of the COVID vaccine. You know, you have a situation where, you know, some New York residents, Norfolk elderly, having to travel to New York City to get the vaccine, but Scott Russell, Southampton Town Southold supervisor Scott Russell, he says, pretty much, he tells Riverhead News Review, quote, the vaccine needs to be delivered out here, not to Jones Beach, which is a great point.
1,000%. I'm with Scott. 1,000%. You know, after Jones Beach, did people forget about Suffolk County, for Christ's sakes?
Well, you have Stony Brook, right?
Yeah, Stony Brook.
And even Belport, I think.
Yeah, 20,000 appointments. Yeah, Belport. 20,000 appointments wiped out. Remember that whole deal?
Mm-hmm.
First
mm-hmm.
day, and then they because there was a glitch in the link. I mean, come on. It's insane. It really is insane. I tell you one thing. This Department of Health is an absolute disgrace in this state, the way they have handled this pandemic. And I can't figure out how Howard Zucker still has a job. Still has a job. Don't even get me started on the March 25th deal, okay, of allowing COVID positives back into those senior venues. We know what happened there, right? How many people died? Do we know? No, of course not. They're not telling you. 6,600, 8,600, 12,600. Nobody knows.
And now they
are in control, folks. The DOH is in control of this stuff. Okay? They're in control of these sites and the distribution and everything else. You really want Dr. Deer in the Headlights, Howard Zucker, to be in control of anything right now?
By the way, he
wouldn't even run a lemonade stand if he had to. I mean, I got no confidence in this Department of Health in this state. None. Zero. Scott Russell's 100% right.
Yeah, Zucker has.
100% right.
If it was a baseball manager, he would have been let go in April or May at the beginning of the season, because he's bungled this. Really, he. You know, people point the finger at Cuomo, who has also made missteps along the way. But Zucker should have been pulled, really, you know, early on. By the way, Riverhead Local does say that two of the, that UK, that highly contagious strain, have popped up now in Suffolk County. So you got to keep an eye on that.
22 cases. 22 cases in this state of this variant, and you got to keep an eye on that. Now, listen, according to all these experts, nothing to be too concerned over, because they are hoping the vaccine takes the variant. But you know what? If you don't have the vaccine, then what do you do? It's more contagious.
Yeah.
It's more contagious than the regular COVID, okay? And that's why you need the vaccine. That's why you need the vaccine. So... And boy, Russell hit it right on the nose. Where is Suffolk County? Where is Suffolk County with all this stuff? Stony Brook, great. Belport, wonderful. Where else?
Yeah, it needs to be more.
I listened to the lieutenant governor yesterday, Hochul. 1,200 sites are up and running. 1,200 in the state. How many does Long Island have? Couple of churches popping up here and there. Come on. Fingers. Just
And I don't even think the Belport facility is big. I think that's more, you know, limited.
Hey, what I want to see. I'll tell you one more thing here.
Yeah.
Can I see the county executive, you know, standing up a little bit to this governor? Can I see somebody? Where's Steve Ballone and all this stuff? You run the county. Get the message out. You need the vaccine. Jeez.
Go ahead, sir.
One of the offshoots of the whole situation back in the by May of last year was what looked like an entire fishing boat showed up with 500 people into North Sea, and Memorial Day weekend was a huge mess on the beaches because New York City, what they're calling New York City and Queens fishermen, that's how they were described, descended upon the beaches. Roads were clogged. Fires were set on the beach. The fish are left behind. The smell is terrible. Waste and garbage were all left behind when they all headed back, which infuriated those that lived nearby. One North Sea fireman even said, if there was a fire and it was spreading, we couldn't have gotten there with all these cars. So Southamptown now weighing a permanent parking ban at any road-ending beach, you know, by the time you get back to May, Memorial Day. So, you know, we spoke before about you're going to have to show proof of that you had a test, you know, perhaps maybe proof of the shot, but you're definitely going to have to show that you live out here because they don't want this disaster of a situation which happened unexpectedly. In Riverhead Town, not Riverhead Town, but yeah, but the Peconic parking lot behind, you know, behind the old Sweezy's, which is Riverhead Town. One night I pulled in there, and there were probably 200 people fishing. Huge, huge nets that you would see, like in that you would see off the side of a boat. Finally, after like a few weeks, I guess they had to get permission to stop it. And I asked the police, you know, what happened? Nobody's here. And he says, we were finally able to put a stop to that. Hey, in Shinnecock, there's still a search for a missing man from Massapequa, William Woodworth. That family had a second home in Hampton Bays. He left a suicidal note, and they found his car at the house. They found belongings on the beach over off Pawnee Street in Hampton Bays. Search is going to continue for at least the next few days, according to Southamptown Police. It obviously is looking like it does not have a happy ending.
Yeah, well, they put out a silver alert for that guy, didn't they, Rob? Did they put out a silver alert for Woodsworth? A silver alert. I thought they put out.
Well, it's a silver alert, but, you know, a silver alert is usually where you are looking for somebody who walks out of a house. This includes a suicidal note, though. So I think this is kind of different. It's a silver alert, but it's looking like it's not going to have a good ending. I mean, his belongings are on the beach. His car is at the house. There's no sign of him. And where they find his belongings is near the water, you know, in Shinnecock Bay. Hey, there's one final story here. Going back to the Vietnam War, there was a private, Gerald Langhorne from Riverhead. Congressman Lee Zeldin is calling for a commemorative semi-postal stamp to honor PFC Gerald Langhorne. And, you know, this is very impressive what he had done. You know, he saved his entire battalion by jumping on a live grenade during the Vietnam War. So that's definitely a good piece of news out here. He's the only Vietnam War Medal of Honor recipient in Suffolk County, by the way.
I didn't know that. You know, listen, good job bringing this into light here. You know, Langhorne, the only Vietnam War Medal of Honor recipient in Suffolk, and Lee Zeldin pointing it out. So, a stamp to honor Private First Class Gerald Langhorne, without
question. And the two people that lured the man from Sag Harbor, 39-year-old Marco Crisales, who was basically clubbed to death off of Roanoke Avenue in a secluded area. 18-year-old Tyora Lemus and 40-year-old Alcides Lopez Cambara, both of Hampton Bays. Robbery charge is now officially added to the murder charge because they sought to deliberately rob him and beat him. And in the course of, you know, it's first-degree robbery because that was the intent. Of course, you could make a case that if they're going to club him, that's first-degree murder. That's not second-degree murder. They're kind of putting it out there that, you know, the second-degree murder means they didn't mean to kill him, but they really did mean to kill him. So,
hey, one more thing before I let you go. Have you heard anything? We have, you know, we've been really one of the only ones following the story of this Charles Harrison Streep, the nephew of Meryl Streep. And you know the story where he got into a road rage situation. It could be a hate crime, too. And pounded on this kid who required removal of his skull, stem the bleeding, the whole thing. He's just not right. Who knows if he'll ever be right, this young kid. And we've had the attorney on representing the young man, Edmund Chakmakian. And there was a rally last week at the bully's home. And apparently he hasn't been making his court dates, Streep. So, you know, from what I understand, Edmund texted me during the week and said there was a good amount of people at Streep's home. So, you know, this story has not gotten a lot of attention. You know, a few pieces here and there in the paper, but man, I'll tell you, I mean, this is a story that should be out there in a big way. Where you have somebody of wealth who, you know, thinks it's his right not to participate in the judicial proceedings because his last name has to be Streep, you see. So, you know, more focus, more attention needs to be put on this. I'm wondering if you heard anything out there. You have a pretty good ear to the ground.
Other than you having the attorney on, which I was well aware of that, I heard that. And, yeah, this story did kind of, even when it first emerged, it was an under-the-radar type of story. And I'm like, this is the only thing that I think, the fact that he didn't die at the scene, I think is why it hasn't been as big as it should be. That where that bank is, the entrance to that, it's like a very small parking lot, by the way. It really is only used mostly for the bank, but since cars park on Main Street in East Hampton, it's not easy to pull out of, certainly, and you can't go flying in there, which it seems this individual did, and, you know, and that's where it evolved into, I guess, like a quick, you know, hey, watch it, and I guess you just never know who's behind the wheel of that car that may go flying at you. It's just the luck of the draw, unfortunately, for this individual that driver is what he is. You know, he gets out and he basically, it sounds like he bashed his head against the curb. Am I right?
Still, like I said, you could have had some verbiage exchanged to warrant a hate crime, which would put on a whole nother layer of possibilities here. In the Chakmakian corner of representation. So we got to keep an eye on that. We got to keep an eye on that one. But, you know, hopefully the courts will prevail here and get this bully to where he's supposed to be. And that's to answer some charges. What's that?
Have they mentioned anything about perhaps the Long Island Ducks being allowed anybody in since the Buffalo Bills were allowed fans in on a limited basis last week? Has anything come about yet? Because remember, the Ducks were denied permission last year by Governor Cuomo. Now that Cuomo has allowed fans into Bills Stadium, well, the Ducks wanted to just put 2,500 in last year, and they were told no out of a 15,000-seat stadium. I think the door should be allowed open. You know, I mean, you still have the virus. You're going to have it. It's still out there.
I can't figure this thing out with what he does. You know, listen, Long Island has had a surge of cases, but you allow 67. And let's not forget, in that region, that was a very high region as far as positive cases. That whole region in Buffalo, all right? And yet 6,700 people were allowed in, and I get the negative testing and the tracing and everything. You can allow some fans. I never understood that. Even the Giants game, you can allow fans in Jersey. You can allow fans in safely. You can space them apart. Listen, I just got word from the Super Bowl. They're going to allow 22,000 in down in Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. 22,000 for Super Bowl 55, folks, will be allowed in, fans. Also, that will include 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers. How about that? So, listen, I've said all along you can allow fans in. Even with the baseball season, they're going to still allow no fans? I mean, come on. You got to allow fans. Fans have to get in there. I mean, it's about time. You could do it safely. Fans should be allowed in.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have to wear your mask on even though you're in an outdoor facility. You know they're going to really crack down on that. But, yeah, you separate them enough, you have the mask on, and there you go. You looked at that game in Kansas City last week, and if you just quickly looked at it and you happened to catch the people in the stands, you would almost not think there was anything going on in the country because that had more people, the Bills were the story because that was the first time New York State allowed fans since last year. But Arrowhead Stadium, which I still can't believe they wait till that name goes. How much longer is the name Kansas City Chiefs going to be allowed? But that's a secondary point. But there were a lot of people in the stands in Kansas City to where you almost didn't think that there was a no ban on attendance. So it is starting to creep up with the amount of people being allowed into sporting events in certain parts.
Lambeau Field as well. I mean, there were a decent amount of people at Lambeau last week with the Packers. You'll see them tomorrow and Sunday night, though. Sunday afternoon. There'll be a lot of people at Lambeau. And Wisconsin also, another area in that Milwaukee area, that's a high-impact area of COVID. But yet, you allow a couple of fans in. I mean, the whole thing is silly. Hey, Rob's Report, beautifully brought to you by Newman Cafe. Folks, it opened way back in the late 70s and still has a very popular feel to it. Ron and Shayna, the owners, table to table, they go. And if you're going well, they're happy. Deep in the heart of East Quality, Great New Moon Cafe. Sir, good stuff.
How's it?
Stay well. Enjoy your football Sunday. And we shall talk to you next week. How's that?
Talk to you then, Jay.